Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين فإن زللتم من بعد ما جاءتكم البينات فاعلموا أن الله عزيز حكيم هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر وإلى الله ترجع الأمور رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الانبياء والمرسلين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين ثم اما بعد once again assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today we'll do a brief study of ayat number 208 and hopefully we can reach ayah number 210 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, after the one who sold himself completely for the pleasure of Allah, the call is made to the rest of us. It's a really interesting transition. On the one hand, Allah compliments and praises someone who sacrificed himself and given himself up for the deen. And on the other hand, there's the rest of you and me. So now we're addressed. Everybody else is addressed. You find yourself within them or not? And if you don't, here's what you should do. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. Those of you that believe, and here it kind of implies that as for the rest of you believers, as of the rest of you that claim to have Islam and Iman, udkhulu, enter, fis-silmi. Silm is, you know, it's understood basically almost majority as Islam, as Salam itself. Silm literally, however, means safety, security, calm, peace. You know, and fis-silmi, enter into the fold of Islam, that's how it's commonly translated, into submission. Also, silm is also submission before an enemy in the Arabic language. So, you know, when two sides are fighting and one says, okay, they raise the white flag and they give up, that's also silm. To give up before the enemy and to just do what they're asking you to do, give in to the demands, give up your territory to them. This is also silm. And the impression with that is that we're almost as though the human being is in a struggle with himself and with Allah Azza wa Jal. And you should stop struggling and just give up. Just quit it. End this rebellion. End this fight. And just give up before Allah. And all of you should do so kafatan, entirely and completely. We've had this conversation under different themes before, but I want to reiterate certain things. This selective submission to Allah. This is the ayah that sort of, in a very comprehensive way, addresses this problem. You know, the ayah actually, in some sense, is complete. إِذَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ أُدْخُلُ فِي سِلْمِ. Enter into the fold of peace. Enter into submission. But he added the hal, كَافَّةً. What state? Completely and absolutely. And, you know, some ulama that focus on rhetoric and balagha and things like that, they even talk about the difference between jami'an and kafatan. Jami'an also means altogether. But kafa, one of the interesting differences between them is that the syllable is stretched. So actually when you're reciting it with tajweed, you're reciting udkhulu fi silmi kafa. It's really long. And the prolonged nature of it is actually to extend the meaning of it to ta'akkad al-lafz, ta'akkad al-ma'na. If you emphasize the word, you're emphasizing the meaning. And if you're stretching the word, you're stretching the meaning also. So all together, I mean, there is no dimension of your life and mine that shouldn't come under this fold. And this is actually something, I know this dars is supposed to be sort of independent of current events and whatever's going on, but it's hard because we're human beings, right? We're impacted and we're also deeply saddened by the things that are happening around us. The immaturity, unfortunately, that the ummah displays at some occasions. Because out of its love, I mean, the emotions that the people are showing on the streets across the Muslim world, they're rooted in love, but you know what? They're not rooted in submission to deen. It's not. I mean, there are so many basic principles of deen that are violated, And it's supposedly under the banner of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not love. Love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is when we do whatever we do under submission of Allah's regulations. For just as a small example, there is no circumstance under which you can harm a guest. And one of the most prominent forms of guests are ambassadors. When an ambassador is in across history, and you can't say the American ambassadors are an exception, and the whatever other ambassadors are an exception, they're not. So long as they're embassies and they're ambassadors, they're sufara, then killing them is a crime across the board. Because they're guests, they're supposed to be honored. You know? And what even hurts even more, I met some Muslims recently that, especially the ambassador in Libya, the American ambassador that was killed, some Muslims that knew him. The man studied Arabic. The man studied Islam. He lived among the Muslims. He was a good neighbor to them. He cared about their concerns. Even when he spoke in government settings about the Libyan people, he said, you know, we should not intervene as much as possible because I believe in the will of the Libyan people. I mean, it was one of the last things he said before he was killed. You know, we're killing people like this because some idiot made a film on YouTube. It's like really absurd. The two things are so disconnected. There's the two things, and I'm not even talking about whether we should kill or not. That's a separate subject. But this like pointless rage. How is this Islam? Like, what Islam is this? Where in the Quran is this justified? What practice of the Prophet ﷺ can you possibly attribute to this? You know, and you know what people like to do? They like to take an isolated like ayah or a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ or a story from the Sahaba and make sure that you don't run it by somebody who actually knows their deen. Make sure you don't ask a alim first because you're the alim at this point. You can just quote a hadith and you're the mufti at this point. So much so that you can take a life. You know, people can read something. Let's not discuss its context or its authenticity or anything else. Let's just take, this is submission to Islam. This is love for Islam. What's gone wrong with us? We've gone crazy. And really, there's some real re-education in Islam that's needed for all of us. You know, it's now literally become a matter of life and death. Literally. That we don't understand our deen. You know? And it hurts not just the ummah that's there, the few crazies that are there make the entire ummah look bad there, across the Atlantic. But also the work of da'wah of this deen. One of the obligations you and I have is to share the message of Islam. As whatever, in whatever capacity we can, with our actions, with our character, an opportunity comes up to talk to your, you know, coworker a little bit about deen, you'll use the opportunity, you'll bring something up, you'll invite them to a da'wah program or whatever, you know? Or an open house at the masjid or an interfaith meeting. Well, these things take various forms. But you know what? Now all of those conversations are hijacked by the behavior of Muslims. All of them. And again, this is the dust. I don't want to digress too much from the dust, but the last thing I want to tell you, really seriously, that the video had like not even 30 hits before the Muslims picked it up. And please don't come and tell me it's a Jewish conspiracy or it's an American conspiracy. There's no American conspiracy for a bunch of crazy young people to go outside and yell and scream at the top of their heads. That's all us. Stop living in a fantasy world where they're all conspiring against us and it's never our fault. Let's own up to the fact that we're not educated, you know? People, and I give khutbah about this, this is the last comment I'll share with you, we'll go back to the ayah, inshallah. People ask me, I'll say it bluntly, really, because it really hurts me. People say, why do you Muslims react this way? Why are you guys so crazy? Christians don't do this. Jews don't do this. I have two things to say to that. One thing I have to say to that is recently, you guys know that one of the princess, a member of the royal family in England, her indecent pictures were exposed, and then they were put all over the place, and then after that they were put all over the place, there are lawsuits going on now, and almost the entire media is against those who posted the pictures. The French should not have done it. It was indecent. They shouldn't have done it, right? And everybody's on the side of the royal family across the media. And right after that, they have a section on this video and all of that, and they talk about freedom of expression. Wait, freedom of expression? Just the last clip, you said that French media outlet does not have the freedom of expression. It's indecent. It hurts the royal family. The British people are being insulted. It's not good of you guys to expose the royal family in this way. It's not, and I'm not a proponent of putting the pictures up. But I'm saying you just said that it's not a good thing. It's indecent.
But when it comes to something that hurts a fifth of the world's population, not a royal family, not an island on this planet, a fifth of the world's population, you find something offensive and you say, wait, what about freedom of speech? Why do you Muslims don't understand the freedom of speech? I don't think you guys understand the freedom of speech either, guys. Because you were just drawing a line between what's decent and indecent. Why don't you, and that line is drawn by the family that's serving the lawsuit. Well, here we are, we're offended. You know, there should be something. There should be, I'm saying there is reason for outrage. We shouldn't just sit on our, you know, on our chairs and say, oh, you know, what can we do? That's not what I'm advocating either. We have a right to be offended. Absolutely. But it should be channeled in an educated way. That's one thing I have to say. The second I have to say is, when they say, why are you Muslims so crazy? People make fun of Jesus all the time. Christians don't go crazy. Moses, they make cartoons of Moses all the time. You know, the Christian, the channel, it's really cool actually. The channel that claims to be like true to American values and Christian is Fox, right? Like they propose this is a Christian country and we should have, you know, Christmas for a holiday, but we shouldn't have Eid, and they'll have shows on this. And then in the entertainment, they'll play, you know, cartoons like Family Guy and like American Dad. And these shows, what do? They make fun of Jesus more than any other. They make fun of God. They depict God in these shows. They depict Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. They make cartoons of him. My first question is to the Muslims. Why aren't we offended when Jesus is made fun of? Why aren't we angry when Ibrahim alayhi salam is made fun of? Why aren't we angry when Musa alayhi salam? These are not our prophets? These are not prophets we love, alayhi salatu wasalam? We are really angry when the prophet is made fun of, sallallahu alayhi salam, but he's not the only one. Allah didn't just honor our prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he honored all of them. So why this like double standard? Like we love them, but not that much. Not so much to get angry. But we love our prophet really a lot, because you know, that's out of the question. You know? So we're selective ourselves. And the second thing is, when you're asked, why are you Muslims this crazy? And I'm asking myself. I'm not even waiting to answer non-Muslim. I don't care about answering the non-Muslims right now. We have to have a conversation among ourselves. My answer to this question, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam, is because we are overwhelmingly an uneducated ummah. Overwhelmingly, we are an uneducated ummah. And I'm not talking about college education and high school, which is a problem in and of itself. We are uneducated in the fundamentals of our deen. We don't know what it means to behave as a Muslim, how to respond. These are not complex ilmi issues. These are the basics of Islamic ethics and morality and behavior that we're not educated in. We don't know how to respond to this stuff. We don't. And that's why we're just put this, pulled this way and that way and the other way. It's insane. And it's really a mob. It's a mob. And you know how crazy our ignorance has gotten? I know I should stop about this, really. It's supposed to be a dars. But you know how crazy it's gotten? I can't help myself. It's gotten so crazy that the ummah has turned into these mobs where the ulama that are sane, that have wisdom, that have something to offer, can't even open their mouth. Because if they do, the mob will kill them. They're ready to pray behind the imam. They're ready to listen to the fatwa of the imam when it comes to which day should we celebrate Eid. Or, you know, how should we make our taraweeh, etc., etc. They'll listen to him. But if he says, guys, calm down, this is not the way, they'll say, he's a sellout, the Americans are paying a blah, blah, blah. You know, they'll go after him. He can't even open his mouth. So actually, our imams and our scholars are being silenced by this mob. The ignorance is winning. The ignorance is hijacking the people of knowledge. They can't even speak. And if they do, they have to go into hiding because there's a, you know, some group says these guys are, you know, insanity. This is insanity. This has to stop. And these are the ayat, we just think of them. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, enter into the fold of Islam entirely and completely. The rhetorical explanation of these ayat is, we have to establish the khilafah of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Yeah, but let's talk about establishing deen in your living room first, buddy. Let's establish a little bit of a deen in your work life, in your communal life, you know. In whatever, some shred of Islam needs to be there in our communities before we can talk about the governance of Islam, you know. And the other thing I tell you, in this within, udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan, really, like, it's things Muslims should be thinking about. You know, Hindus, in India, there's conflict sometimes between Hindus and Muslims, and sometimes it gets very, very violent, and we know that history, right? And there's mistakes on both sides, but whatever. This conflict happens. You know what the Hindus do to really offend the Muslims? You know what they do? They take a pig, they slaughter it, they throw it in front of a masjid. That's what they do. And the Muslims say, Astaghfirullah, this is what they've done. We should kill all these Hindus, you know, pig in front of the masjid. Do Muslims hate pigs? Did Allah say you have to hate pigs? Is that a fundamental of our religion, that you hate pigs? You know, your kids are watching Charlotte's Web and you're like, Astaghfirullah, I think there's a pig cartoon on the TV. Change the channel. What is wrong with you? We can't eat them. They're filthy animals. We should stay away from them. Fine. It's not a fundamental teaching of our religion. But you know what? Because we have made that a big deal, even people who hate us say, well, we don't know much about Muslims, but we do know they hate pigs. That's all they know about you. That's a pretty good big statement about what you and I have been able to display about Islam. You know? The first thing they should know about us is not that we hate pigs, is that we hate injustice. We hate shirk. You know? We hate lying. We hate cheating. We hate stealing. Where did that go? They don't know that about us. All they know is we hate pigs. That's all they know. Isn't that a sad state of affairs? This is something you and I have to really rethink. How are we educating our ummah? How are we educating our... What does it mean to enter into the fold of Islam? Udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. I'm not saying that it's okay to throw pigs in front of the masjid. Please. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying we have to grow up. The ummah has to grow up. The children... Main Urdu mein ek baat kahun? Urdu mein. Jo bachcha chidta zyada hai na, usko chheda bhi zyada jata hai phir. The kid that gets like, teased a lot, like, stop it. Guess what the bully does to him more? It bugs him more. These guys make a stupid film, and we go crazy. We just go nuts. What are we doing? We're encouraging them to make another one. Hey, let's see what happens next. What else could they do? It was the cartoon, then it was South Park, then it was this, and it, every few months, every year. Something, you can't just, you know, and then we go crazy again, and we go crazy again, and we go crazy again. It's like, it's become a thing. It's become a sport. And you know what? We're fueling it, not them. They're not the ones fueling it, we are. We're the ones giving it flame. We're the ones giving it attention. Nobody else. Nobody else. Just, you know, Salman Rushdie, for example, is the old school, right? Salman, the original killed this guy because he wrote against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Salman Rushdie's career was built on the hatred of Muslims. The guy made millions because of Muslims. He was a second, he still is a second-rate writer. He has no good publications. But the only reason he gained his notoriety is because Muslims hate him. We made his life. We gave him his career. That's what we did. How easily we're toyed with. I was talking to one of my asatidah, he told me, you know, what it feels like. It's like they're playing, you know, in Spain they have bullfighting. That's what the Muslims are the bull. They just waved a little red flag, we were ready to go. That's what we've turned into. Just reactionary. Don't even have to think. But I love Islam, bro. And then people come and say, but what do you want us to do? Nothing? We gotta do something. You, sir, do nothing. The guy who says, we gotta do something, you need to calm down. You don't know what you're doing. When you're thinking like this, you've already got a problem. Our deen is one that does not allow us to judge matters by emotion. It does not. Our deen is one that teaches us to calm down, put our emotions in check, and judge matters for what they are, and then take a course of action based on ilm, on basira. We are not an impulsive people. And if you are trying to fire people, especially young people, up, just fire up their, we gotta do something. I don't know what it is, but the least we can do is yell and scream. That's the least we could do. What good will it produce? Please tell me. I don't know, but at least we did something. We spoke against the truth. Spoke to who? Yourselves? Spoke to who? Who did you speak the truth to? The street, you just, you know, like, you, they took down some Kentucky Fried Chicken and a McDonald's, right? Probably owned by a Muslim, most likely. He said, this might be a good business idea in the Muslim world. Let me set up shop. Like, this is food of the kuffar, destroy it. Seriously. This is what we've come to. We have to wake up. We as a people have to wake up. What does udkhulu fi silmi kaffa mean? My contention, Allahu ta'ala a'lam, my contention is until we engage in a comprehensive education of the Quran, a comprehensive education of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, a comprehensive one across the board to the ummah, our attitudes will not mature. We will not change. Because the thing that fixes our mentality is our deen. The way to think about things, it comes from our deen. We're not studying our deen in the right way. We're not. And that's what's producing this craziness. And the Imam, may Allah Azza wa Jal help us all lift out of this strange state that we find ourselves in. Anyhow, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa." I'll take 5 more minutes. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't end up following the footsteps of shaitan. On the one hand, we are commanded, enter into the fold of Islam, enter into the fold of safety and peace, and stop resisting against Allah entirely. Give yourself up. Okay. But then he says, don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. These two things are in connection with each other. And what they imply is, the shaitan is not going to come to you and say, leave Islam. He's just going to come to you and say, give me a little peace. Just give me something. Okay, you do so many good things. This one little haram thing is not going to make you kafir. You could just do this much. It's okay. So he'll say, okay, well, yeah, you know, I mean, I am going to Hajj this year. So I could rack them up a little before I go. Ramadan is in a couple of weeks. It's okay. I mean, Batman came out the first night. I'll just watch it. And then after that, 29 more days of good deeds. It's okay. You know, I could do that. It's okay. It's no big deal. So you're going to, you know, what shaitan wants is just give me a little. Don't give me everything. So he says, udkhulu fi silm. It's like shaitan says, yeah, udkhulu fi silm. Just not what? Just not kafatan. Just not entirely. You know, don't be so extreme. Everything, your finances should be dictated by Islam too. You know? Your investments should be dictated by Islam too. The loans you're taking should be dictated by Islam too. Mostly Islam is challenged not in worship. I mean, that's lazy people. They don't pray, right? But the real problem we have with our deen is when it comes to money. That's when the real problem of our deen is. And when it comes to dealing with family. Especially when those two things come together. Family and money matters join together. Oh, we are awesome. When it comes to giving inheritance, when it comes to giving mahar, when it comes to assigning the mahar, oh my God, we're the best. You know? This is udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. Let's deal with that first. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. He's absolutely, clearly an enemy to you. In other words, this call to compromise, to water down the principles of our faith, and to take religion seriously in some things and make a mockery of it and not even bring it up in other things. How many families I know personally that I know and that are even extensions of my own family, Salat is a big deal. Salat is a big deal. But separation between men and women, out of the question. Hijab, out of the question. Don't even talk about it. No, we're not those kind of Muslim. No, but it's in the, I don't even say like, fatwa, can you just read the Quran? No. We're doing namaz. That's good enough. They don't even say salat, they say namaz, right? Doing namaz is good enough. Don't bring up more. We have a chunk of Islam we're happy with. We don't need anything else more than that. Don't bring anything more than that. I knew families, and I'm not even bashing on people living in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Egypt, or whatever. Let's talk about ourselves. You know, there are so many families, they send their children to Sunday school. May Allah reward you, continue to send your children to Sunday school. Okay? But I remember this one cool story. This kid used to come to Sunday school, and we had one of these really zealous young brothers that was a Sunday school teacher, and he gave a whole 40-minute halaqa on the merits, the benefits of praying Fajr on time. To these 12-year-old kids. This kid listens to this 40-minute thing, and by a miracle of Allah, he paid attention for 40 minutes, which is not possible for most 12-year-olds nowadays. He paid attention. Next morning, guess what he does? Monday morning. Prays Fajr on time. The next week, the parents come raging through the masjid. How dare you corrupt my child? He has to go to school in the morning. You're waking him up early in the Fajr time. And he thinks he has to do it now. That's not why we bring him here. Just teach him how to read some du'as, and that's all we want from you people. Awesome. Sorry. We thought we were here to teach deen. Should back off. You know? Subhanallah. You know? This is the state we are in. No. Don't teach my child religion. But to a point where we're comfortable, after beyond our comfort zone, we're interested in dukhul fi silm, just not kaffatan. And when that is the norm for the Muslim, then is it not, you know, ittiba' khutuwat ash-shaytan? If that's the case with most of us, we have a certain line we've drawn, then is it not the case that we are following the footsteps of shaitan? Have we not become or befriended what is clearly our enemy? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us and our families and our extended families become people who are motivated to enter into Islam completely and to make Islam dominate every aspect of our lives, be it domestic, be it career related, be it finance related. May Allah Azza wa Jal instill in us a mature mentality and a mature understanding of our deen. And may Allah Azza wa Jal help lift the ignorance that the ummah suffers from and the spiritual ailments that the ummah suffers from. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us the generation that helps raise it out of that ignorance, and including ourselves. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.